You'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter 8, verse number 29. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you stop and think about the words that he spoke here, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. And then he said this. Imagine this. Just stop and think of what the Lord said. For I do always those things that please him. What a statement. There's not a one of us here today that could honestly say that is the record of our life. We might say that's our desire. But only the Lord Jesus Christ could utter those words. For I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. And yet that ought to be our desire. The Bible says we should have the mind of Christ. But Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. And Lord, I pray that your word would speak to our hearts. And Lord, that you would just speak to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The last Sunday in January of 1986. No, well, it wasn't a Sunday, excuse me. The last Wednesday night of January in 1986, my wife and I stepped through the doors of Lake Spawn Baptist Church for the first time. I remember like it was yesterday. I can remember the details specifically. The reason why it's so clear is that I can remember the usher that greeted us, the usher that spoke to us. I remember we sat right where Allison's sitting right now, right there. And then we were told that it was the annual business meeting. That's why I remember so clearly. And then I heard these very precious words. We only have one of these a year. And I said, oh, wow, what a relief, right? It's like Alka-Seltzer. What a relief it is, amen? But I remember sitting and I remember meeting folks. And that was the first time we entered the doors of Lake Spawn Baptist Church. And we've been here ever since. And Lord led us to the ministry and everything else. And I have a reason why I'm saying all this. Is because as a pastor, you teach and you preach and you're expected to get up every Sunday and every Wednesday, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. And you're expected to stand behind the pulpit and preach the Word of God. And you're expected to be right with God as you preach the Word of God, right? And yet you know, well, no, you don't know. I know how frail of an individual I am. I know my person, I know my character, I know my nature, I know my relationship with God better than you do, even though you might think you do. And it would be a wonderful thing for any pastor to be able to stand and say, you know, every time I've stepped in the pulpit, every time I've opened my mouth, every time I've opened the Word of God, every time I've preached the Word of God, it has pleased God, or it's, you can't say that, folks, as a man. You can't say that. You know, we've been in the book of Genesis, and the reason I say all this is we've been in the book of Genesis, and since before Thanksgiving, I've been meditating and studying on one just one section of scripture, which I'm not at liberty to share with you by the Lord this morning. And I've been studying this one passage of scripture. I've been working on this message. I've done more reading and meditating and studying on this whole passage of scripture. And then the Sunday after Thanksgiving, the Lord set me aside and says, "No, you're not speaking this morning." He says, "You're not preaching." And at first, I didn't think much about it. I thought, well, it's just because of my health, okay. And so I kept working on this message. I've twisted this message upside down and all around, and I've come up with, I don't know, how many different introductions, conclusions, illustrations. I was awake last night with it. I've studied it. And this morning, the Lord said to me, "You are not ready to preach that message, young man." Well, he didn't say young man. He says, "You're not prepared." And so I don't know if you'll ever hear that message. I honestly don't know whether. I don't know when the Lord will give me liberty to preach what he is brought through my studies. I know the message. I know the whole thing, but you know, there's times where the Lord says, "No, it's either I'm not ready, or you're not ready, or the timing's not, or for some reason." I'll tell you this, as your pastor, for some reason, the Lord had just said, "Not now. Not now." So I say all that to say this, that don't ask me when we'll be back in the book of Genesis, because I don't know. When the Lord says it's time to go back to the book of Genesis where we were, and the Lord opens it up and the Lord gives liberty, we'll be back there. Until then, I'll just wait upon the Lord for what he has for us. But through the course of all that, he brought me to this verse in another portion of scripture. And I'm thankful this morning because it, once again, the special music ties right into it. But Jesus said these words. Think about this. Just stop and ponder the statement that the Lord Jesus Christ said. "For I do always those things that please him." Wouldn't that be a wonderful truth to be able to say? Wouldn't that be just awesome to be able to go through today and just look back at today and say, "Boy, I did all throughout today just what pleased the Lord. Just what pleased the Lord. Not what pleased me, not what pleased others, not what pleased..." I do always those things that please him. How is it that the Lord could say that? Now we know, I know you know, and I know, and you're probably saying, "Duh, he's God." Right? That's what you basic Bible 101, right? But he came in the flesh. And he was made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself and took upon him the form of a servant. But how is it that the Lord, as the Son of Man, yes, he's the Son of God, but the Son of Man, how is it the Lord could say, "I do always those things that please him"? And how is it that we can have that purpose in our life? Boy, I tell you what, if we had that purpose in our life, if we had that purpose, just stop and think about it. If we had that purpose in our life every hour, just stop about how, think of how it would affect our life. If every hour, if the clock struck 10 o'clock, and we stopped and said, "You know what? For the next hour, I'm just going to focus on every minute doing everything that pleases Him. Well, I'm not saying you'd forego your life or your work, but in your work, in your life, in your marriage, in your home, in your driving, in everything, do always those things that please Him. And then you come to 11 o'clock and you just stop for a moment. You said, boy, in this next hour, I'm going to do what pleases my Lord, my God. And you come to 12 o'clock and you stop and you say, I'm going to do what pleases my God. 1 o'clock, and 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. Just think about it for a minute. But how is it that we can come to that place? How can we get there? How can that really become our heart's desire, the attitude of our heart, the purpose of our heart, the prayer of our heart? Well, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, it's thought maybe we ought to just go and read the book of Hebrews up to chapter 10. Well, in fact, go back to Hebrews chapter 1. We're not going to read the whole 10 chapters, but I'd encourage you when you go home to read all the way up to Hebrews chapter 10. Because in Hebrews chapter 1, all the way through up to chapter 10, it's focusing on one person, and it's not you, it's Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, we always go to, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But how many times we read that, and yet the book of Hebrews from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 10 just puts our eyes of faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it begins with God speaking. It's one book in the Bible where the author is not attributed to any man. And that's because God wants us to realize that it's He that is speaking to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. And then it goes on to speak about His Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of the high. And so you come over to chapter 10, and without going through all of the first 9 chapters, you come to chapter 10. And it's interesting because in chapter 10, in verse number 5, it says something. Look what it says in verse number 5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, or He said something. When Jesus Christ came into this world, when He stepped from heaven, took upon Him the seed of Abraham, the Son of God, the Son of Man, in His heart, His mind, in His purpose, in His being, He said this, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. You see, back in John chapter 8, when we read those words where Jesus said, I do always those things that are pleasing to the Father. From the very moment he left heaven, in fact, before that. But here in chapter 10, it says, when he cometh into the world, when he cometh into the world, he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. In fact, verse number 9, he said it again. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standing daily, ministering and offering sometimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And you know, as you go through Hebrews chapter 10, the first thing that you're brought face to face with is the work of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did. And in chapter 10 and verse number 10, it says the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. When Jesus Christ came, he knew, and he was willing, and he says, I come to do thy will, O God. I come to do thy will. And what he did was the will of God, and it was the work of God. It was the work that God wanted him to do. And he offered himself, said he offered his body, once for all. Jesus Christ offered himself on that cross once for all. His whole life, from the moment he was born all the way up to the cross, there was one purpose. One purpose. One purpose, folks. To offer completely himself to God for you and me. One purpose. But I want you to go back to Psalm 40 for a moment. Psalm 40, and because it says in verse number 7, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And this references another passage of Scripture. It's in the Psalms, and it's Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and verse number 6. And it's an important passage to go back and reference as you read Hebrews chapter 10, because it says in verse 6, and here's a passage of Scripture that is brought to our attention in Hebrews chapter 10, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. And then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And this is the passage of Scripture that is referenced over in the book of Hebrews. In fact, in verse number 7, it goes back even further. Hebrews refers back to Psalms when it says in the volume of the book it's written. But the psalmist, and this is a portion of Scripture that points to the Lord Jesus Christ and pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. But even there in verse number 7, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And that could take us all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 3 and the first promise of the Messiah all the way through. Because over and over and over and over and over again, as Pastor Donnie has mentioned and as his series on Sunday night is going to be, that when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to those disciples on the road to Emmaus, he opened there the scriptures from Moses and the prophets and told them all things concerning himself. And every page in scripture, in every book in the Bible, in every chapter is to point us to the person of Jesus Christ. He says, lo, in the volume of the book, it's written of me. There's one person we're to see in this Bible, and it's Christ. Because as Pastor Donnie preached last Sunday night, only when we see Christ will our lives be changed. Only when we see Christ will truly our lives be changed. But in Psalm 40, when it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it brings a couple of things out. In verse number 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. Verse number 6, though, mine ears hast thou opened. You know, we could go over to Isaiah chapter 6 and where after Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, God says, whom shall I send and who will go? And in the context, the prophet says, here am I, send me. But really, that was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And here he says, I heard what my Father said. I heard what my Father desired. I heard what my Father spoke. My ear was open, but it goes further than that. Not only does that passage in Isaiah 4 or Psalm 40, when it says, mine ear hast thou opened, not only does it mean open to hear, but that phrase right there goes to the love of a servant for his master that is willing to stand there and allow the master to put an awl through his ear, signifying that forever he would give his life to do the will of the master. And is not that what Jesus Christ is really saying? Jesus Christ did not say, you know, I've come to do thy will for 33 years. And no. He says, I come to do thy will forever. That's why the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. But he says, he's opened my ear. Hebrews chapter 1, boy, it should stop us up short. Because it says, God, who in sundry times in a diverse manners has spoken to us in the past times by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Boy, the first thing we ought to say is, Lord, help my ears to be open to you. Lord, open my ear to hear your word, to hear what you say, to hear the words of God. And Lord, not only open my ear to hear, but open my ear to be yours forever. Because go on in chapter 4, it's Psalm 40, and it says this. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written to me. And he says, I come. You know, that's what the Lord desires of you and me. That's what the Lord desires of you and me. Folks, we think that the Lord wants everything else. And he wants what you heard sung this morning. He wants you and I. He wants us to just come and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Here am I, Lord. I want my life to please you. I want my words to please you. I want my thoughts to please you. I want my acts. Lord, I just want you to be exalted. Did not we sing that song? Be thou exalted. Be thou exalted. How many times have we tried to do something for the Lord? And he says, really? He says, I would much rather have your heart than what you just offered. Be thou exalted. And Jesus said, I come to do thy will. But verse number 8 is where it really sticks. He didn't just say, I come to do thy will. He says, I delight to do thy will. Why? Look what it says. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. This is where it all comes from, folks. Jesus, when he stepped into this world, he said, lo, I come. He said, my ear is open. Thy will, O God. Oh, even when it was difficult, and even when he had to pray in the garden, say, not my will, but thine be done. But here in verse number 8, it says the reason, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And we could go back to John chapter 10 and we could rightly say, well, sure. He and the Father are one. I and my Father are one. He's a Son of God. But don't forget, folks, he came in the flesh. He took upon him the seed of Abraham. He was made in the likeness of men. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so go back to Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment, because in Hebrews chapter 10, oh, wait a minute. No, stay in Psalm 40 for a minute. Stay in Psalm 40. Go back to Psalm 40 for a minute. Let me transition gracefully from Psalm 40. Because, you know, the first thing we see is the work of God in Christ and what Christ accomplished once for all. Never again has that work needed to be accomplished. Jesus Christ paid for our sins, offered himself once to God without spot. Because it was finished, he sat down in the right hand of the Majesty on high. But you know, here's the thing. In Psalm 40, verse 6 comes after the first 5 verses. Now, I didn't purposely neglect those. I just held off on them for a moment. And here's where it begins to relate to you and me. Because David gives praise unto God. David gives thanks unto God. Look what David says in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You know, Psalm 40, David starts with thinking about and rejoicing and praising God and thanking God for how God delivered him. And that goes to our salvation, does it not? Because did not God lift us up out of a pit? Sure he did. Set our feet upon a rock. Sure he did. Establish our going. And David goes on not only to speak about that, but then he goes on to speak about all. Look at verse 5. Many. He says, not only did he lift me up out of that pit, not only did he set my feet upon a rock, not only did he establish my goings, he says, but think of all that God has done. Just stop and think about all that God has done. I was just rejoicing just this week as the Lord just clearly showed me something else, just something not minor, but something that he just clearly showed me, that something he wanted me to do. And I just thanked the Lord. I was so blown away Wednesday night. Wednesday night I walked in and I was just didn't feel strong enough to preach. And probably the Lord was saying, I don't want you preaching tonight either. And so I said to Pastor Donnie, I said, please, I said, just have the folks share verses. And so folks started sharing verses. If you weren't here, folks just started sharing verses. And Justin Petrie says, well, I want to share a portion of Scripture. And he shared a portion of Scripture. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, you can't make this up. Only God can do this. Only God can have me walk in on a Wednesday night with a text and a message and then say, no, sit down, be quiet. Okay. And then have a man in the congregation read and expound the passage of Scripture that God had put on my heart to study and prepare to preach. Is that not God or what? Amen. I'm sitting there thinking, wow. And then I'm thinking, oh no. Look how quick and brief and to the point he was. I didn't get that lesson though, by the way, anyways. But I was just amazed. I was amazed at and David says the wonderful things that God does. How many things he does. But you know what he points to? Here's the amazing thing, that when he goes to verse 5, many, O Lord God, are thy wonderful works. That's where all of a sudden his attention is turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what David's basically saying? He says, all that God has done, the greatest work that God has done, was when Jesus Christ offered himself for me once for all. And in Psalm 40, the Lord said, I delight to do thy will because thy law is in my heart, in my mind. Now come back to Hebrews chapter 10, because in Hebrews chapter 10, you come down to verse number 14, and we see the work of God in Christ, that once for all. Boy, we were driving yesterday, and we're coming back home, and we stopped at a gas station, and I got out to pump the gas, and it was unusual because it was a gas station where all of a sudden this guy comes around, and they actually had a gas station attendant that was going to pump the gas for you. Wow. I was shocked. I just in amazement. Someone pumping the gas for you. We still do that in 2020. It was amazing. So I started talking to the man. I said, do you know Jesus Christ? I said, do you know if you're going to spend eternity or you're going to go to heaven? And it broke my heart because I gave him a track and asked him to read it. He got busy with someone else. But he said this. He just kind of smiled and he said, well, he says, I've heard that for every good thing we do down here, that God puts another brick on our house. And I just says, oh, no, 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 no. No. Because it's not about what we have done. It's not what I have done and that God puts another brick on my house. No, it's what Jesus Christ did once for me, and once for you, and once for all. He offered himself, he offered his body once for all, and then he sat down because it is finished. That's why we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But then you come down to verse number 15. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So thankful for that. But look at verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. All right? First we see the work of God in Christ. But now we see the witness of God to us. You know, most times when we think of the Holy Ghost, when we think of the witness of the Holy Ghost, we think, and rightly so, we think from Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Right? But here it says the Holy Ghost, and every time that phrase Holy Ghost is mentioned, it's speaking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit indwelling you. If it's speaking about the Holy Spirit, that's just speaking about the Holy Spirit as a person. But when it speaks about the Holy Ghost, that phrase in your Bible is pointing to the Spirit of God that indwells the life of the person that is trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Holy Ghost in you. Every time you read that, please just remember, you better focus. That's speaking about the Spirit of God doing a work in your life, his presence in your life. And it's important here because it says this, whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. A witness to us, to me. For after that, he had said before, and this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we come back to John chapter 8. How can I say I do always those things that please the Father? The Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. This is what the Lord said. Now check out what the Lord said. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of sins is, of these is, there is no more offering of sin. But verse number 16, God says, and the Holy Ghost that indwells me, witnesses to me, tells me, this is what God said, this is what God has done, this is what God wants to do, this is what God is doing. He is putting his law, God through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, is putting his law in your heart, in your mind. Now just stop and think for a minute. Put this all together. When you go back to Psalm 40, you go back to Hebrews chapter 10, when he cometh in the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. What did it say in Psalm 40? What did it say in Psalm 40 as to why the Lord Jesus Christ said that from the very first moment he came into this world? Well, go back to Psalm 40. You got to turn back there. Turn back to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Look at verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. Hurry. Psalm 40 and verse number 8. I say that kindly by and jokingly, by the way. Psalm 40 and verse number 8. Not only I come to do thy will, I delight to do thy will. Why? Why? I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Jesus said, I delight to do thy will, because his law, the law of God, the law of the Father, the will of the Father, it's in my heart. And what does Hebrews chapter 10 say? That the Holy Ghost that indwells me is putting that same law, that same desire, that same purpose, that same thing. I will make with them after those days, verse 16, I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. And God is saying, that's what I'm doing in you through my Spirit. That same law, that same mind, that same heart that was in my Son when he stepped into this world and said, I delight to do thy will. He says, by the Spirit of God, he says, I'm putting that into your heart. That's why the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. That's why Philippians chapter 2 can say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Not because of us, not because of our flesh, but because the Spirit of God that indwells us puts that law within us so that our hearts are crying out. By the Spirit of God that bears witness, our hearts are saying, Lord, I delight. I want to do thy will. Why? Well, it goes back to Psalm 40. Because of what he's done for us. Because he saved us. Because he saved us. You know, you go back to John chapter 12. And Lazarus came out of the grave. What did he do? One thing we ought to want to do every day of our life is sit with Jesus Christ and feast with Jesus Christ. Fellowship with Jesus Christ. Because when we want that, and that's what the burnt offering is all wrapped up in, when we want that, we'll say, Lord, I delight to do thy will, O God. It's in my heart. It's in my heart to please you. To please you. Can only do it through Christ. And so we see not only the work of God in Christ, but we see the witness of God in Christ. But then we come down to the last thing in verse number 19. And you know, you come through all of first 10 chapters of Hebrews. And now it's going to come to a very practical thing. Look what it says in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, all because of Jesus Christ, all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, offering himself once to God for you and me. All because what that has opened up for us, that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship with God. We can go boldly into that throne room of God, the throne of grace, meet with God, fellowship with God. We can go into the holies of holies with God through Christ. But in chapter 10, it says, because of that, it says three things. Three things. And here's three things that please God. Here's three things that, if I do always those things that please God, here's three things. Having therefore these brethren, verse 19, look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Number one, simply this, draw near to God. Draw near to God. Boy, I tell you what, that right there, you go back to John chapter 8 and do all things that please him. I always do those things which please the Father. You know what would please the Father the most? Is if every hour of the day I was drawing near to him. James chapter 4, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to thee. He says, just draw near to me. Just draw near to me. Draw nigh to me. Don't stay away. Don't stay at a distance. Draw closer to God. Draw closer to God. Draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith. It's number one. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. That pleases God more than anything else, does it not? That affects our life more than anything else. Draw nigh to God. Number two, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Hold fast the profession of our faith. So many people in 2020, so many Christians in 2020 have allowed their faith to be shaken to some degree by the things that are going on. Why? Why? Why are we letting the earthly things of this life, the changes that are taking place in our world, why are we letting those shake our faith? Ought not to be. We trust in a God that left heaven and came, was born in a manger to die for our sins so that we could have eternal life. And yet, circumstances are causing us to place our hope and faith in other things. Friend, let me tell you, our faith, our trust, our hope is in nothing down here. But it's the one that's alive and ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's where our faith, that's where our hope, that's where our trust is. Don't let your faith be shaken. Don't let man say that your faith needs to be in the political realm, or the medical realm, or the earthly realm, or and listen, I'm not discounting all those things. I told my doctor the other day, I trust two things. I trust the Lord, and I trust Him as a doctor that God has put me with. But my faith and my trust is not in myself, it's not in you, it's not in this world. Hey, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because He is faithful that promised. So number one, draw nigh. Number two, hold fast your faith. But number three, and how important this is, consider one another. Help one another. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Be a blessing, be a help to others, encourage others. That's what God wants, folks. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. That's what God wants for us. That we might please Him. Every day. Let's pray.